Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4 and chapter 5, he's in charge over the unseen world, as we understand this from Scripture. So now, beloved brothers and sisters, it is still the same day. And can you imagine, this man was now possessed by an unclean spirit. In fact, we read about his condition in verses 3, 4, and 5. Look at his condition. There are about four things that I want to point in verses 3, 4, and 5. First of all, he was dwelling among tombs. Now, it was not for Jewish people to go into a burial site, into the Beit Kvarot, just to live there. It was unusual, it was uncommon. Anyone that belonged to the nation of Israel. Secondly, notice that, it says in verse 3, no man could bind him, no, not even with chains. He was possessed with demon, and no one could hold him, no one could bind him. You know, today, if somebody is behaving in a wrong way and not acting right, they will put him in a straitjacket so he cannot harm himself nor anybody else. But no one could do this to this man. It says here in verse 4, why? Because it said that he had been often bound with fetters, this is ropes, and chain, and the chain had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. And then it said, neither could any man tame him or restrain him. He couldn't be restrained. He lived by the graveside. No one could even bind him together. No one could control him. This man was in a terrible shape. In fact, verse 5, it says, always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, this is a terrible condition. That reminds us of the effectiveness, you might say, of the activity of Satan. Satan controlling men who do not subject themselves to the Lord. Satan is an enemy of God and an enemy of mankind. He is called in Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the air. He's called in 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this world that has blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah should shine unto them. He's called the one that is the enemy of God, the Satan, the devil, the old serpent. He is the enemy of God, and he have his messengers attacking and controlling men even these days in which we live in. I know you and I live in so-called North America or in the modern countries of this world, but if you would go to other countries that people live differently, in a third world country or elsewhere, you will hear many stories about the effects of Satan over mankind. Well, look what we find him. This happened about 2,000 years ago when Yeshua went to Gadara on the other side of the lake of Kinneret. A man that is fully controlled by Satan's messengers, by demons. Demon possessed, living among the dead, cutting himself, shouting. You might say he was a lunatic. He was not normal. His behavior was terrible. Everyone was afraid of him. And it does say, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 6 and 7, that this man approached Yeshua. Now we learn how wonderful. You know, the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, he is not only able to control the elements, but he has authority over unclean spirits. He is a deliverer. He's a savior. He loves mankind. He doesn't want people to be in such a condition. And so we find out, look at these verses 6 and 7. He approached Yeshua and he had a request. Notice it says here in verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, when he saw Yeshua, he ran to worship him. This is the man himself. But then we find out, and he cried with a loud voice and he said, what have I to do with thee, Yeshua, thou son of the most high God? I adjure thee by God that you will torment me not. Now you can almost see here a double personality, you might say. On the one hand, the man is running, recognizing Yeshua, heard about Yeshua, that he's the one that everyone spoke about him, that he is the one, the promised Messiah, he's coming to worship him. But at the same time, the demonic evil spirit is crying with a loud voice through this man and saying, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of the Most High God? You see, apparently, that evil spirit recognizes who Yeshua is. You see, the devil himself knows very well who the Messiah is. We read when the devil came to tempt Yeshua in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4 when he was in the wilderness, also in Mark chapter 1 as we read it already, the devil knew very well who Yeshua is. He trembled, we read in James chapter 2. But he is not intent to submit to the Lord. He is an enemy of God and an enemy of God's people. But you notice what he said. He says, what have I to do with you, Yeshua, you son of the most high God? I beseech you by God that you torment me not. In other words, the demon, the fallen angel, know very well that there is a time coming that he will be tormented. He will end up to be sent into the abyss as a final judgment that's going to come on all those fallen angels that departed from the Lord. Like it will happen to Satan, who will be ultimately cast into the lake of fire. That's what he's saying. What have I to do with thee, you son of the most high God? I adjure thee by God that you will torment me not. Brothers and sisters, listen. Because God hates sin, God will judge anyone, any sin that rises up because God is holy. Men that refuse to accept God's offer of salvation will end up to be tormented. Demonic or demons or angels, fallen angels that separated from God will end up to be tormented. God has to judge sin because God is holy. And the only way that you and I can be delivered from the judgment of God is because Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, paid for the penalty of our sins. He was the just who died for the unjust in order to bring us to God, 1 Peter 3. And that's how we receive forgiveness of sins. Just to remind you, in Luke chapter 16, the story that Yeshua said about Eliezer, and the rich man. These are not demons now, these are people. Eliezer trusted God. The rich man rejected God. When Eliezer, Lazarus, died, he was carried to Abraham's bosom to enjoy rest, eternal rest. When the rich man who rejected God, he died, he was carried to Hades, to hell. And you remember what he said? Father Abraham, he said, please send Eliezer, Lazarus, that he will go to my family. I don't want them to be here where I am because I am tormented here. And you remember what Abraham said to him? They have Moses. They have the scriptures. They have the word of God. If they don't listen to the word of God, how would they listen even if someone will rise from among the dead. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, we realize here from this verse 7 that this unclean spirit, a fallen angel, that took possession of this man, knew very well what is coming his way. He knew, first of all, that Yeshua was the Son of the Most High God. And secondly, he desired that he will not torment him. In other words, don't send me to the abyss where there all the fallen angels are there. A verse that is found in the book of Jude, verse 6 says, "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." These are the fallen angels that have already rejected God and followed Satan at Genesis chapter 6, and they did not keep their first estate. They are already there, but there are those fallen angels that are still allowed to have some sort of liberty, you might say, or freedom here, who are waiting the day that the judgment will come upon them. So please, he said, please don't torment me, he said, Yeshua, the Son of the Most High, in verses 6 and 7. And so we learn that Yeshua now commanded the unclean spirit to come out of this man. In verses 8 and 9 we read, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name?" He asked this man, of course, who was possessed by the spirit, which he removed the spirit from him. And you notice what we read? "And he answered and he said unto him, My name is Legion, for we are many." Apparently, beloved brothers and sisters, this man was not only controlled by one demonic spirit, but by legion. The Hebrew word is legion. Legion is about 6,000 of demons, you might say. Just like the Romans army have 6,000 soldiers make one legion, one legion. Imagine the possession of this man by this multitude of fallen angels. And so we read now as we move along that the request from this man came to pass. He says, "Come out of this man." This unclean spirit came out. They found out that there are legions that control that man. And now notice that he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. This is verse 10, 11, and 12. These demons ask Yeshua the Messiah that he will not send them away. Notice that now, verse 11. "Now there was there nigh unto the mountain the great herd of swine feeding, and all the demons besought him, saying, Send us unto the swine, that we may enter unto them." Now, first of all, the question immediately arises, if the Gadarenes were part of the tribes of God, what in the world they are raising pigs in their areas? After all, in Leviticus chapter 11, God commanded when he gave the law to Israel that Israel is not to eat swine and pig. What in the world these Gadarenes now are raising up swine right there in this area that they took possession, you might say? But of course, as I mentioned earlier, there was a mixture there. There was a departure from God's divine order when he gave Israel the law. And by that time, you can see that they were raising pigs in that day when the Messiah came. And I would like to remind you that when the Lord Jesus was born and living, before he died and finished the work on the cross, he was born himself as a Jew among his own people under the law, and he himself was submissive fully to the law that God had given to Israel in those days that he was still alive. Once he finished the work on the cross, he was buried and raised, and the door was opened to the nations of the world. the dispensation of law came to an end. And the days of grace have opened the door, and God is reaching out to Jew and Gentile all over the nations of the world. And we live in those days where the Jew and Gentiles have liberties that Israel did not have during the days when the Lord gave them the law. And so now we continue, and we find out that these demons requested that Yeshua will cast them into the swine. And so we find out, and I'm moving along here towards the end, the demons' requests were fulfilled. We find at verse 13, and forthwith Yeshua gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and they ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. 2,000 pigs at that time died when they were running. Can you imagine what they have done now by the evil spirit entering into those swine? They caused them to run, and they ran all the way down and fell into the Sea of Galilee. 2,000 of them were now choked and died at the same time. So imagine if these demons took control of this man. Can you imagine what kind of condition this man was? So let me just conclude here in the last verses here, from verse 14 all the way to verse 20. Two more things I want to highlight. Look at the reaction of the Gadarenes. You would think that these Gadarenes will recognize that he was the Messiah. After all, the man was delivered from the evil spirit. 2,000 pigs died. There's something special about this man. You would think that they would want him to be there in the land with them. Well, look at this. They that fed the swine, they fled. They told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Yeshua and saw him that was possessed with demon, and the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They went back to their towns. They told the owners of the pigs what happened. Then they all came back, and what did they see? The man that was once possessed with demon sitting quietly. He was in his right mind. He was clothed. We had clothes on his body. He was now normal. No longer, you might say, abnormal man. No more crying, no more shouting, no more cutting his body with stones. He was right now sitting, preparing himself to enter, you might say, society. So you would think they would be so happy for him, and they would want Yeshua now to continue on to be in their midst. Well, look what it says, unfortunately. When they saw this man in his right condition, they were afraid, and then they told him how it befall to him that was possessed with a demon, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him, and they said to him, depart out of our coasts. We don't want you to be here. We prefer to live our life the way we live. We don't want you to remain here in our midst. They rejected the fact that Yeshua came and healed that man and removed the unclean spirit from him. They were ready to continue on in their own behavior. And that tells us, beloved brothers and sisters, that man, unless his conscience is being pricked by the Lord, unless the Spirit of God touch our hearts, we rather go in a wrong direction then choose the ways of the Lord. John 3:19 says, for men love darkness rather than light. That's why the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It is only when the Spirit of God touched that man's conscience that he or she or they will come to know the Lord. They begged him to depart out of their coast. Don't stay here. Get out of our cause. We don't want you to remain in our midst. By the way, that's what the Samaritan said in other passage when he came there and they knew that he was going to Jerusalem. They said to him as well, they didn't want him to stay in their midst, as we read it in other passages. What a sad condition that existed there. And I believe, or I understand from that, you know, if you have 2,000 pigs, and you have a great business selling the pigs and food and meat, and now all of a sudden all their possession have been destroyed. Their business, they're out of business. So they don't want him in their midst, because they were earning their livelihood through the selling of the pigs. So now they don't want him there. And they say, get out of here, begin to pray him, and they say, depart from their coasts. And so let me conclude now quickly. Verses 18, 19, and 20. The Lord is now ready to depart. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with demon, he asked him that he might be with him. Now that man wanted to go with Yeshua. He wanted to leave Gadara. He wanted to enter into the ship and travel with the Lord. He didn't want to remain there in Gadara. After all, he's now free. He's now normal. He's no longer bound by chains and ropes. He's no longer ready to live in tombs. He's free. He's no longer cutting himself with stones. He's no longer crying and shouting and looked by everyone else as a madman. He's normal, sitting quiet. He says, Lord, I want to go with you. Now, who wouldn't want to go with the Lord? After the Lord delivered him from such a condition, he would be happy to go with the Lord. I just don't want to live the old life that I used to live. I want to go with you wherever you go. But you see, the Lord said to him, listen, not because the Lord didn't want him to come with him, but in verse 19, Yeshua, he suffered him not. He did not allow him to come with him. And he said to him, go home. Go to your friends. Go and tell them how great things the Lord has done unto thee, and it had compassion on thee. He's saying to him, no, don't come with me right now. You go back home, and in your home and your friends surrounding, you tell them what Yeshua have done for you, what I have done for you, the great things that the Lord has done for you. It is not that the Lord did not want him to come with him on a boat, on a ship, and continue to be along with the disciples. The issue here is that he wanted this man to become, now you might call him a missionary or a servant of the Lord, to go and tell others about what the Lord has done for him. And I can tell you, you know, he didn't need to be a theologian. He didn't need to know Genesis to Revelation, every passage in the Bible, in the Word of God. But one thing he knew: I was once a man that possessed by demons, and now he set me free. And I'm ready to enter society, to be a blessing to the people around me. And so he departed. Look how beautiful the conclusion of this passage. He departed, and he began to publish in, notice here is the word, Decapolis. These are those 10 cities, 9 of them on the eastern side of the Jordan River. He's now began to share with everyone what great things Yeshua have done for him. And you can just imagine, he's going from one place to another, and everybody look at him and says, isn't that the man that was once crying and shouting and cutting himself and having chain? We tried to hold him tight, we couldn't keep him. Isn't he that man that was living where the dead used to live? Look at him! Like the Samaritan woman said, come and see a man who have told me all that I ever done. Is not this the Mashiach, the Messiah? Come and see. He's inviting, and how beautiful to see. He was faithful to go and share the message of the Word of God. He went public in obedience to the Lord, and he shared the message of the Word of God with all the Decapolis, all the 10 cities. How great things Yeshua has done for him, and all men did marvel. What's the lesson, brothers and sisters? The lesson is this. 2 points and I'm stopping. Number one, when we have troubles in our life and we have storms that will come our way, we have to learn to simply trust the Lord and ask Him to help us in the midst of storms that come across our life. You will see, and I will see, that there will be storms in our lives. There will be problems in our life. I know we like to have trouble-free life, but it's just not going to happen. It didn't happen to Yeshua himself. It didn't happen to the apostles. It didn't happen to the prophets of Israel. It didn't happen to the king of Israel. Never in this sin-filled world will we ever have trouble-free life. We'll always have trouble, but we can always lean on the Lord when trouble comes. Secondly, we also have to learn that the Lord is in control over all Satan's activity. And that's why we have to put the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6. And we have to pray and trust the Lord that He will deliver us from the attacks of Satan. So we can go and share in this world and we can say, come and see a man. Look what great things He has done for me. You and I, He saved us. He forgave our sins. We have hope to go to heaven. What more can we ask? And we can share this message of the gospel with a world that is filled with sadness and sorrow. So may the Lord help us to realize that the Lord Yeshua is in control over the elements and is also in control over the demons, Satan, and all those that do his bidding. May the Lord keep us close to himself and use us to be servants in these days and in this locality. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.